This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Today on our Power Suit, much to my producer's joy, utter joy, we feature a groundbreaking executive, a woman who defeated all the odds of a difficult childhood to building a career that is internationally recognized. Amanda Dambuze is the CEO of project management consultancy Uyandiswa, right? I pronounced that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the author of Baked in Pain, a book where she details the emotional roller coaster of growing up in apartheid South Africa. She joins us now in studio. Good evening, Amanda.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Good evening to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Without giving your whole book away, please tell us a bit about your childhood as a start.
I'm a product of rejection and abandonment by both parents at different times.
Okay.
Before I even turned one, and I actually started staying with my mom when I was 13. Growing up with all of that negativity around you, my mom and dad went their separate ways when I was just before I was one, because sadly I didn't live up to expectations of keeping the union together by being born a girl. and I'm a proud feminist today. But it was a very difficult childhood with extended family. I had a roof over my head, food in my tummy, but I had none of the love, nurture and protection from parents.
Born where?
Born in Natal, actually.
Where exactly?
Kawini.
It's Kawini.
Yes. But then grew up in the Transkei.
Yeah, what's in my respect? Kaluza. Born in Kaluza. Well, I think, Kaluza and then moved to Woodlands, but I'm a Marisburg boy.
Oh, well, wonderful. I'm married in Bali.
18. Yeah. I know all your nooks and crannies. So, before we speak on your career, let's talk about your journey with regards to mental health, healing from some of these childhood circumstances and turning into an important sense of grit.
Yeah, I actually think, mental well-being is a very critical aspect of any human being.
Yeah.
Because you really are what you believe you are at the end of the day. And I'm no way talking about, people that probably are needing medical help for their situation. I'm just talking, good old feeling down and run down and thinking your life is nothing, thinking your circumstances are overpowering or overwhelming. Just that state of mind and deciding and making decisions around your life that will enable you to succeed. And I always say that, it's easy to want to give up. I mean, giving up is the easiest thing, actually.
Especially when you have excuses.
Excuses. People would probably say, shame, we understand. Oh, given how she grew up, who expected what
of
them.
So you have a perfect excuse not to.
Yeah, but I really think that, we must push on and rise above all of that and prove that it can be done, prove that we are worthy of far more the negative scripts that we grew up with. But that takes a lot of mental strength. That takes a lot of self-belief. And however you get to it, I saw many psychologists. I saw priests. it was really just the effect of having had a traumatic childhood. But you really can work on your mental strength. You can work on building self-worth and knowing that actually self-esteem might have been shot when you were growing up, and maybe you were told you were going to amount to nothing. Maybe because your parents rejected you or abandoned you, you felt like you were not worthy or that your life was not worth living. But actually, I asked myself those questions myself when I was growing up, but the answer was always the same, that my life was definitely worth living and I was just going to have to breathe through, almost walk through the storms until I can get to a space where mentally I'm strong enough to say I own my life, and that you everybody can do it. And to be honest, that's really what Baked in Pain is also about. It's that offer to heal, but also an opportunity to say to people, you can fight odds.
Yeah.
Odds are there to be fought, and you can actually rise above them, and live a fulfilling life in spite of where you've come from.
Mm. Mukulumuti abandoned, exactly like Mutsi, they abandoned you. What do you exactly do you mean? You say that when you were 13, you lived with your mom again. So, and how is your relationship right now with both your parents?
Without giving away everything, because I still want people to buy the book. when we left in Natal, so when my mom and my dad went the separate ways, my mom then took us to her extended family in the Transkei.
In the Transkei.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, my mom was 27 when she had me, and I'm the last born. And I guess she wanted to come to Joburg and have a better life. Unfortunately, she never returned. So when I was that young, having moved from my dad to the Transkei, so abandonment is I mean, any parent that gives birth to a child and doesn't raise them or nurture them, or you know, circumstances are different, and there's reasons why people do things like that. But mine was really. My mom came to Joburg to find a better life for herself. So I ran away when I was 13 to come and find her. Gangster style.
Gangster style.
No, but I mean, in the book, you get to read a bit about how that happened, because she had come back in and out of my life or our lives over the years. But, you know, you're going to have to read the book to understand the story. But I did run away, gangster style, rocked up in her shack in Mshenguville, 4 o'clock in the morning, three teenagers begging for their mother's love. So that was it was very interesting times.
Yeah, no, it's quite a beautiful story, seeing how it turned out for you now. Like, let's talk about building your career. I mean, as a black woman, playing in an IT space, I mean, as a woman, yeah, but a black woman in particular in this country, playing in IT space in some of the country's largest corporates. Just what are some of the lessons you've learned in conquering such a journey?
I actually think, listen, there's nothing, if you think everything in life has to come to you or land on your lap purely because you're a black woman, then you are sorely mistaken.
Yeah, but nothing will.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Actually, you know, it's you know, even in business, you hear people saying, oh, you know, 100% black woman owned business, you must be getting all the deals. I'm like, no, I get the crumbs, but my attitude is the determining factor. I know how to put together crumbs and build something significant from them. So I mean, even in corporate, I've never actually, I'm not a person that shows up with a race card.
Yeah.
I'm a person that shows up with a human being card. You know, how do you treat people around you? How do you build relationships? And what are your standards of excellence? Because, you know, people want to work with people who have credibility, who have proven that they can deliver, who have got, who are trustworthy or keep their word, you know. So, I mean, for me, throughout my career, I just always built wider relationships, and not just with the IT crowd or with the cooler leaders. It was right from the top all the way to the bottom, but also just focused on what I was really good at and how I could show up and lead people in a way that gave them dignity, that gave them opportunities to excel. So I was never one of those that was always about me, and to be honest, I still am not that, even in business. And I really think that if you show up with a card that says you're a woman, or you're a black woman, or you are this or you are that, or you're wealthy or you're not, life is not really going to work out very well for you, because I mean, half the time people don't really care about that. It's what do you bring to the table?
What do you bring to the table?
And what are you willing to do? And how far are you willing to go to showcase your talent and what you are able to bring to the table?
Well, now, showcasing your talent in IT, how did you get into IT as a whole? What drew you to IT?
Actually, I graduated. So straight after graduation, I got a job at a call center.
Yeah.
At a company we're not going to mention. I had a horrible boss. But
When was this? How many years ago?
This was 2000.
2000, yeah.
Yeah, and the call center job was really difficult, because I used to deal with elderly pensioners, and they were calling to find out why they were not paid their pension. So I mean, you're dealing with grannies who have, like, some of them would walk kilometers to get to a pay point, and they wouldn't get paid. So it was really emotionally taxing. But I had taken that job because I wanted to get corporate experience.
Okay.
I mean, when I was at varsity, to get myself through university, I worked quite a lot, multiple jobs. I mean, I even dished out pamphlets at corners of traffic lights. Yeah. I did stock taking. I worked at coffee shops till like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
But I needed that corporate work experience. And I knew that it wasn't going to be for too long. So after 3 months, I left and told a friend of mine that, you know what, I'm leaving because this job is just not, it's not, it's not going anywhere. And he said to me, why don't you actually try project management? He had a project management firm that was in partnership with one of the large project management consulting houses. So that's how I got into project management and IT specifically. Yeah. But I started as a project administrator. So I was taken in as a, like a graduate intern. Mm. And needless to say, I've never looked back. And now I run a project management consulting firm.
Which his name is Uyandiswa.
Uyandiswa, yes. Yeah.
So when did you start it and why? Like, what took you on to that next leap? It takes a lot of courage, I guess, for anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone just to take that leap and, okay, fine, I'm going to do it on my own.
So it was August 2013 when I registered the company, and at the time I was a CIO at a bank, and
comfortable job. Eh?
Yeah, well,
CIO at the bank.
Listen, it is a tough job.
Of course, the
status that comes with it.
Yeah, it's a great status.
Oh, right? Absolutely. And to be honest with you, I mean, I was incredibly looked after at the bank. Yeah. I had great opportunities.
I
never felt like, you know, anyone was pushing me down in any shape or form. But I had to change my lifestyle. You know, I already told you I come from a bit of a tough childhood with no parents. So I wasn't really... So I had to change my life. First of all, I really, really felt that... I was not using my time effectively by sitting in a boardroom for 6 hours a day talking about the same thing we talked about previously, and nobody's doing anything
about meetings. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And people just covering their behinds. And I just sat there and started wondering, is this really what I want to do with my life? And the answer was no. And I also started, you know, when you see that your country is burning, and you are sitting in a boardroom talking about nothing.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to thirdly, also have a bit of flexibility around my family life. And I wanted to own my time. I wanted to do what I wanted to do with it. But I really also identified where there was a gap where I could go in and set up a real business that could be sustainable over a long period of time, which is really why I started Uyandiswa. And we help clients to execute on their strategies. And it sounds incredibly posh, but actually we go in and do the hard work. Mm. You know, we go in and we... Put aside the PowerPoint presentations that look amazing from the big consulting firms. We say, okay, what do we need to do and how do we get the client across the line for them to realize real tangible deliverables, so real change in their organizations. So we're a project management firm, professionals, but we're change agents. That's really what we are.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
So when you started it, do you have like a client that you took across, like your one client you've looked after throughout the course of this journey?
No, I had zero clients when
zero
I started.
Zero clients when you started.
I had so I registered in August 2013, as I said, and I had set myself a target to leave that following year to run it, and I did. So I left corporate May 2014 to run the business. And I took no salary for 5 months. I had cashed out 80,000 rand out of my pension, which came after 3 months. Mm. And I used that to set up the business and get out there. But actually, I really needed to rest. So I thought I could take longer, like a year off. But the opportunities kept coming. People kept knocking on my door. In fact, my employer, not my boss, but the organization in another division, kept contacting me and knocking on my door saying, Amanda, we really would like to support your business. We still need you in the business in some shape or form. So that became my first client. APSA was my first client 2014, and they're still one of our largest clients.
Mm. Well, that's quite the leap. Speak to us about, I mean, it's five years now. Speak to us about this journey and how has the Yandiso business model evolved over the course of these 5 years?
You know, one of the things I'm really grateful for is that Yandiso wasn't my first attempt at business. Mm. I mean, I've had multiple businesses. Mm. I've actually had my first business. I was 23 years old when I had my first business. And it was around the same first.
What were you doing at 23? What business was that?
I was doing flower arrangements.
Flower arrangement.
Actually, one of my clients used to be in this building next door. I've always just had this belief that I must have multiple streams of income. I must have side hustles because I just don't ever want anyone to own my destiny. And I think having had the childhood I had no choice but to be in the situation that I was in for a long time until I could get out of it. Mm. So as a result, that drove a fierce independence in me. So I've always had multiple businesses, franchises, hair salons, you name it, I've done it. Mm. And Yandiso was that big play at big business. Mm. And I really think the gift of having had many businesses before was that I wasn't quite a novice at this one because I had actually failed at others before and lost lots of money. So this time I was going in with a clearer mind, a clear vision. And you know how the business model has evolved. Firstly, I'm really, really proud that the business I had set out to run is still the same business. Mm-hmm. So our core offering is still the same.
Yep.
Because I knew exactly where the gap was. Mm. And staying true to who we are. We are a bunch of professional project managers. That's who we are. We're not suddenly going to come out and be something else.
Yeah.
But within project management, there's constant evolution. There's constant changes in methodologies and how you actually deliver on projects. And of course, I mean, you're working with people. You're delivering through people. So it's always exciting to work with people with all their dynamics.
Mm.
But I've got an incredible team that supports me and we... Every single day we're looking forward to, okay, how can we create more jobs?
Yeah.
I mean, just today we had just finalized that we're now ready for another round of graduate intake.
Okay.
Because I'm really passionate about creating jobs. And we keep saying that there are no skills in South Africa, but we're not willing to build the skills.
Yes,
and
that's very much so. That's true. Yeah.
And we've got like many young people sitting at home and it's a disaster for the country.
Mm.
Young people who sit idle with time in their hands is not a good thing. So I mean, really I call all these businesses platforms through which I can make a difference in my society, in my country.
Mm.
And of course you need to build sustainable businesses that are profitable for you to be able to even do all those things. So yeah, I know the company has definitely grown. And we continue making a difference in our clients' lives. But we continue to be supported by the clients because we do what we say we're going to do. We deliver what we said we're going to deliver. So we keep our promises and we own it where we haven't quite showed up the way we would have liked, you know, because you don't always, you might have the best intentions and have the best people, but the environment might not quite be conducive for what you're trying to do. So it's owning that. So, yeah.
With regards to, I mean, 5 years, staffing numbers, how many permanent employees do you have? And with regards to graduate employees, how many have you taken in over the past few years?
Sheesh. I think our graduate program is one of the things I'm most proud of. We started 2014 when I started running the company. So that's May. So well over 5.5 years, I set out to start taking in graduates.
Mm.
So from the first year when I wasn't even making a lot of money, I knew that that was my purpose and that was the reason I had started that platform. And we started from pretty much being just me to now we're about 90 people in the company. And we use a mix of permanent staff and, you know, independent contractors. But most of them, we've had relationships with them since 2014 as well. So, and graduates, every year we take in interns and graduates, by the way.
Yeah.
So we take in probably about 5 to 6 every year. And we also work with another company that trains some interns up. So they come to us for work experience. But we've got great programs for our graduates. Then we pair them up with some of our people on site at clients where they get real work experience. But we only really work with people who are dynamic, who want to learn, who are not entitled, because I cannot deal with entitlement. I cannot. Mm. I cannot deal with people who act like victims. You know, people can complain about apartheid and this and that. I grew up under apartheid.
And
you can blame anyone you want to for your life. Only you are responsible for your life. So, you know, we give people opportunities. Some of them don't really appreciate them and they stuff them up and I exit them.
Mm.
I'm not afraid to fire people.
Yeah.
Especially if you are taking up a space that somebody else really desperately needs.
Yeah.
And I always look back to when I was a graduate and that opportunity that I was given, if I hadn't received it, you know. And I really think people, regardless of whether you're a graduate or not, just the fact that you have got an opportunity, you really need to make use of it because there are few and far in between.
That's true.
And we are at the coal face of this unemployment issue. And it really, really irks me when I see young people messing up opportunities.
Exactly.
Sorry, I sound like I'm preaching.
Preach on. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm sure listeners are too. I'm making a point. I've never asked anyone on the show, on this segment especially, because I'm going to make it a promise going forward. I'll ask men as well. But so I'm asking you for the first time, asking a female CEO this, but I will ask. Let's talk a little about you as a wife, mom, friend, as a mentor to close the show. And I promise I'll ask the next man who comes on the show the exact same question.
I don't mind you asking me
that. Okay, perfect.
I'm a kind feminist.
cool.
A self-assured one.
Yeah.
So your question was around my family.
Yeah.
I mean, I am obviously married. Mm. Not obviously. I already said in Bali. And I've got three children.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is that the beauty of running my own business is that I've got the flexibility to be present in my life and my children's life.
Mm.
And that way I'm able to give them the best version of myself. But I also teach them that you actually can have it all.
Mm.
I really don't believe in you can't have it all.
Mm.
You can. You can have a successful career. You can be a mother, a wife, and do them successfully. Of course, does it mean that sometimes you have to give up certain things. Like, I'm not a person that you're just going to find hanging out at some restaurant, drinking wine and not really having meaningful conversations because I'm always like, this is the time I should be with my family.
Mm.
So I'm incredibly guarded around my time. And I do mentor a lot of people. I mean, there was a time when I started counting, getting to the 20s, and I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
It was a full-time job. Mm. So Baked in Pain, in a way, is also a platform through which people can interact with me, get to know my story, because they ask me exactly the same questions, and I've put them in the book so that they can be equipped. But what's nice is that they don't have to keep calling me or see me all the time.
Yeah.
They can just read the book all over again. They find something different in it. So for me, my family is a big priority.
Yeah.
And my little people, the twins are 12. My little guy will be 9 next month, and they're just absolutely an absolute blessing.
Mm.
And they tell me I'm the best mom ever, and I believe them. So
yeah,
I think you can balance all these things. It's just, you know, what is important for you? What's your vision for your life? And how do you show up every day? What are the things that you pick every single day that enable your vision? Because people spend a lot of time with things that disable their vision, but they're not aware of it because they're not really clear on what their vision is. So that's me.
All right. No, thank you very much for joining us. And yes, my producer was right. This was an excellent interview. Thank you. I'm putting it out there. Amanda Dambuza, CEO of Uyandi. So thank you very much for joining us this evening.
It's a great pleasure. Next time I'll be here for an hour.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.